Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 12, entitled Pillar of Salt. It was written by Gerardo Naranjo, who's worked on Narcos and The Bridge, and directed by Carla Ching, who's worked on Fear the Walking Dead and Graceland. We recorded an instant cast and hope you guys listened to that already. But Gary, we've watched the episode a few more times. What did you think of the episode?
After the second watch, I still love it. I mean, the show is awesome. Like I said, it's starting to pick up. It's building steam. Also, their flashbacks is giving other shows a run for their money.
Yeah, it is. I like those flashbacks.
Love them.
Yeah, I would say I still like the episode even after watching it a second time. I noticed some things a little more that I didn't see the first time or just kind of paid more attention to, but I enjoyed it. So the way this podcast works is we discuss our likes and then our dislikes, any listener letters, and then we do an award and a prediction at the end. Just so you know up front, our email to send any comments to or anything that feedback you want us to discuss on the podcast is dead@theverdictsinn.com. Or you can also hit us up on Twitter @theverdictsinn or facebook.com/verdictsinn, and we will discuss your feedback there. All right, so first on our likes, and I believe we discussed it on the instant cast, was the family's escape.
The opening scene.
It was very short. Their escape, it's like as soon as they made it out, they died. No, they didn't die, you know, they got captured. Like,
right.
It's like they probably, it's like they took that breath, like, oh, we made it. And then, boom, they got caught.
You know what? They never got to take the breath.
You don't even think they got to take a breath?
No, as soon as they got to the road, getting ready to run, then they hear a car pulling up or the truck pulling up, so they have to run some more. It's like they didn't get to breathe yet.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It was pretty quick, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that opening scene because it was new characters and it was like, what is this? Who are these people? And then it's like, oh, they're leaving the town because you see the bus.
Right.
But then you're like, kind of like, why are they leaving? It's not, is it that bad to leave? But so it kind of just makes you wonder.
Well, they said it was getting dangerous or it's not safe there.
Well, clearly it's not because we do see those people staring off at Nick in the binoculars. So they have followed them somewhat.
And one thing, I think I mentioned this already, but I love the air scene. The air view of the bus and all the walkers around it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They give us like an air view and you see, because when you're there on the bus and they get out of the bus and they cover themselves with blood, you can't really tell from there, that scene, how many walkers there are.
Right.
But then when it pans out to that air view scene, there are so many walkers right there, and it looks so scary, and I thought that was very, very good job right there. All right, next on the likes is just real quickly, it's Francisco's earrings. They were pretty cool. They were like just a regular earring on the front, and then the back was like cut into a knife. So like the style or the design of the earring was on the back.
It.
I was like, oh my gosh, look at his earrings. Like, those earrings are badass.
Yeah, she talked about it for a long time.
I did. I thought they were pretty cool.
They're all right.
Like, can you get through TSA with those earrings on? I don't know, because it just looks super dangerous. But at the same time, it looks super dangerous not only to, like, others, but to yourself. Because it's like, one wrong move, could that knife earring cut you? Like,
cut your throat?
Yeah. But I thought it was pretty cool. All right, then we have Ophelia's flashback of her getting engaged. I enjoyed that scene right there.
Yeah, I got to say I loved it too. I enjoyed it. I like the direction they're going at with Ophelia. They brought her back. I mean, first when we saw first seen her, we were like, man, what is she doing there?
Right.
I mean, you was talking about how wrong she was. I was talking about how right she was. You know, I would have left too. You know, she's good. I would have left too. But, yeah, that flashback was awesome. I mean, I just love to see her past, and But I'm hoping to see more of the flashback. I'm hoping to see her father in it, to see what part he played in her not going.
I'm hoping to see Daniel not just in flashback. I'm still hoping to see him in the current season.
Daniel's gone.
No, like, it's to me, it is no proof yet. Like, I still have hope that he's alive. But, yeah, seeing her get engaged and seeing how she seems so innocent. She was playing that part so well. Like, she seems so innocent. Like, later on in the next flashback, which I did not notice until the second time we watched, when she got back home, she told her mom she had went out with the girls. Remember, the mom's like, oh, I was a weekend with the girls, da-da-da. And you could tell that awkwardness. Even though she's, like, a grown woman, she's still lying to her mom on where she went. She's definitely not going to tell her she got engaged. I think she took the ring off beforehand.
Right.
So just seeing that different side to where now we see her getting tools out of the truck and hitting zombies, you know, left and right.
Oh, yeah. She's badass.
Yeah. So I love the transformation that it shows of this character.
But I wonder, was she honest with them?
Honest with the parents?
No, with her fiancé. With, you know, her saying that she had to take care of her mother and father. I wonder, does she really have to take care of her mother or father? Or do she really think she do? Or whether she knows there's something going on with her father. You know, he's in too deep. You know, he's CIA or something, some craziness, some special forces.
No, I would definitely say she was being honest with her fiance there. If you remember in season one, when Daniel, like, hurt that military guy, you know, like, tortured him or whatever.
Right.
You remember, Ophelia didn't talk to Daniel for, like, the longest time. She thought that was, like, you're evil. Like, damn, I knew you did some stuff. You were, you know, I think Daniel was in the military himself, but, like, I never knew you do this dark, like, you're the monster, not him. So, Ophelia is very, she learned that after the apocalypse started, not before.
Okay. Kill my theory.
Sorry. All right, so I did get some Walking Dead vibes. I think it was season four. Was that when they were still at the very beginning? They were in the prison, and that's when everyone got sick. But I think that season starts off with them, like, having, you see them having, like, little council, little group meetings, and Rick is farming, and, you know, life is going on. The kids are learning, like, remember that opening scene? Yeah. I think it was season four, episode one. So that's what the vibes I got here, where you see Madison, everybody working, trying to get electricity. They have a little garden growing.
But you know what? They're doing a whole lot better than Rick and them. You know, they have a beach.
They have a bar, too. A
bar.
Strand is, like, keeping the bar area shiny and clean. He's like, I'll manage the bar. Alicia's learning to surf. Like, this is a vacation.
It is.
A bar and a beach, and you're learning to surf? Okay, sounds good to me. Not having to go to work every day, so yeah.
But one thing I didn't like or I didn't understand was, did you see somebody in the water?
No, that's scary. No, I didn't see anyone in the water.
I saw the guy teaching her how to surf, the nephew. But in the background, like, someone else was by the water enjoying himself. And I'm like, how? You know, you just dump zombies in there, so how are you enjoying yourself right now?
Oh, yeah, that is kind of gross. Like, ew, I would be grossed out for the longest time.
Yeah, I'll stay away from the water for a little while.
Yeah, like, that's zombie juice in there. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. All right, another thing I remember or learned watching it second time is, it's a small like, but it's just something that we need to consider because we did see Francisco and his family being interrogated, and it looks like they were going to kidnap the daughter, so...
Right.
Could this be something leading up to what's going to happen there? And that is, Francisco's daughter is sick.
Right. And this explains the opening scene.
Why they're leaving.
Why she's not safe here anymore.
Oh, because they think they can put the daughter through the fence. Is that what you mean?
Right.
That would be sick. That's just sick. I mean, it's sick either way, but no, you would have to kill me before my child goes walking through some zombie gates, you know? But my theory, just a theory, is that the guys kidnapped the daughter, right? The daughter falls sick. Maybe she falls asleep. They think she's sleeping. She wakes up zombie, kills her kidnappers. Ultimately, her parents find her. They're like, no, our daughter. And then she might have to kill them, too. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, you wrote a whole scene. Yeah. Your head.
I mean, I guess they kind of did that last year or earlier. When was that? When, like, the little kid took the pill?
That was the first season. No,
it was
this season.
Yeah. Okay. So they may not go that route since they already had a kid kill zombie or whatever, but.
You know, I'm going to just go back with my theory. I would just say that that's why they think the place is dangerous now. It's not safe because, you know, they put people in the gate when they get sick. And, I mean, you and I, we think that's sick to put a child in there. They don't feel the same way about death as we do. They probably feel like if she go in there, if she make it back out, then, you know, she's a god or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, because at one point, every time, the guy that we did see go in there, and he didn't make it, they were like, oh, like, I'm like, what'd you guys think was going to happen?
So right.
Maybe they do think something different may happen, like that chosen one.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, what if, and I've been watching The Zoo, or the movie, the TV show Zoo lately, so I'm having some thoughts there, but what if Alessandro, whatever the pharmacist, what if he goes in there and does not get bit? Because he does have the quote-unquote bite mark. That's a possibility, right?
So you think the walkers might think he's already dead?
Yeah. It's a possibility.
I don't know. I think if he had a bite mark, you know, they already, I don't know. You know, they are, it already proves that they'll eat his ass. So
yeah, that's true.
But you know what? He has been sweating a lot lately. It's like they already giving us these dead vibes from him. He looks sick.
Or maybe the medicine he was using to fight off the sickness is no longer working, or he has run out.
Maybe. Or I think we already talked about this in an instant cast where maybe it's taking him a little longer to die or longer to change.
That's a long ass time. Well, you know what? It's not, remember, they said that it's not the bite that kills you. It's the fever.
Right.
So if he had some really strong medicine that was killing off that fever, which is the only reason why he has not died, and now he's run out of that medicine, the fever is going to overtake. He will die. So maybe that's his deep, dark secret. Maybe he wasn't healed. It's just that he's been fighting off that fever.
Right.
Which is very interesting, because that means there is a way, as long as you have that medicine, there is a way to survive, not indefinitely, but for a certain amount of time to prevent the fever from kicking in or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but if there's a medicine that could fight off the fever, wouldn't there be like a antiviral medicine? Something that just stop it altogether?
Maybe. I think of like AIDS or HIV. Don't they have medicine to fight that off, but they don't have an actual cure for it.
Well, yeah, we go that route. Yeah, something like that. Something that, I guess, suppressed the virus.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Whatever medicine he has, maybe it suppressed it, but it's not fully cured. But you stop taking it, you will die.
Okay.
All right, next on our likes list is Madison laying down the law. I know we had some dislikes for her, and we'll get there. But when she, after Strand gets stabbed, and she's like, okay, from now on, Eileen stays locked up permanently. And then if anyone lays a hand to another, they're gone.
Right. I loved it. A like is Nick telling Alessandro that they're going to come no matter what, that the wall's not going to hold them.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Nick, he's more knowledgeable on, I'm not going to say rough people, but on street ways. And he knows they're not going to just be like, oh, well, they didn't come, so I guess we're not going to get it, especially since this has been a constant thing. It was not like a one-time deal with the fish in the ice that Madison then brings them. This is something that's been going on. So, yeah, if they don't come, we're coming for you, especially since the guy, the big mancho or whatever, the head guy there, that's his sister.
Right.
So I did like Nick saying that, too.
And one other thing Nick said to him is, am I supposed to follow you blind?
Yeah. Do I follow you blindly? I like that, too.
And this was a like that both of us had. Alicia's opened up to Strand.
Yes. When she was telling him, you know, because he's like, you said you always had to take care of yourself. And she's like, well, my mom always had to take care of my brother or my dad.
Right.
And, you know, no one, she didn't really have to worry about me or look after me. And I still don't think she sees me now. And I like Strand saying, like, make her see you. And it was sad to hear that's how she feels. Like, even the zombie apocalypse, it's clear that she still needs her mother's love.
And right.
With Alicia and Strand's rough background, you know, based on their arguments and stuff, all the stuff that happened on the boat when she was talking to that stranger guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that things are kind of closing in on them. Like, maybe, because at first when she was left alone, it looked like she was going to feel awkward. Like, what are we going to talk about? But it looked like she still cared. She was pressing her hand up against his wound. And I like that they opened up to each other. Or at least that she opened up to him.
Well, Maddie told her to let him die. Now I want to go back to Ophelia for a second. One thing we seen her doing was she was going to America. Like, there was a sign right there, like Mexico. I guess if you stay in Mexico, you go this way or go to America. And we know she's going to find her fiancé. But that was a big like to me, because I have a feeling that this storyline is going to be awesome. I mean, this is going to be, it's not going to be the Carol going solo, but this is going to be pretty cool.
I'm excited about her trip as well, because hopefully that she's going to find other people along the way, which will bring additional characters, which could be exciting for the show because it's not like we're tied to the main characters from season one. I mean, we were sort
not
of.
Not all of them.
Not all of them, you know. But so seeing new additional characters, getting to know them, seeing if we end up liking them, if they'll stick, that's what I'm most looking forward to as far as her little journey that she's going on.
Right. But speaking of tied to characters, it's like the characters that we were tied to, like Nick. I don't find this storyline, well, I have a feeling it's going to get better, but I don't find this storyline as of right now exciting. Like, I'd rather see Chris storyline, or, you know, we love Alicia. Now, right. You know, I want to say Felicia so bad. You know, I had to fight. But yeah, we love Alicia. We love Maddie, Mr. Clean, you right. know. So, we love that storyline. And it can only get better from what happens at the end. And with the Chris storyline, I just can't wait to see if Chris kills Travis. Okay. How does Travis escape?
I think if anyone's going to get killed at this point, it would be Travis killing Chris.
I don't know. Like I said, Travis is like he's about to cry every time we see him.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back to Ophelia, yeah, that's going to be badass. She's going to America. I mean, the only thing that would have made this doper if she would have tied some guns to her coat.
Oh, I know. That would have been badass. She's not there yet, though.
She's not there. All right. Another big like to us, and this comes, you know, with a dislike with it. Well, right behind it. But a big like was Alicia putting Maddie in her place.
Right.
Like, Maddie did, like, the unthinkable, and we get there in our dislikes. But Alicia, I think she finally made Maddie see her.
Yeah, I think that's been a criticism a little bit of The Walking Dead is that they're never nominated for Emmys or anything like that, and the Emmys just passed, and I can't recall if they were nominated at all. And I thought of the Emmys with Alicia's scene because I was like, that girl... They might just want to elect her or nominate her in, because that scene to me was so moving, so powerful when she's talking to her mom and her mom just sitting there looking dumbfounded. She's like, no, no, you don't understand. She's like, no, no, like you don't understand or whatever. And then she's like, just trust me. Like, and then Alicia's like, dude, you almost messed up the drop. And Madison's like, oh, but it worked in the end. Like, Madison, that's something a kid says, like, you
that
know.
Is.
Like, you tell your kid don't go outside by themselves because you may get kidnapped. And then they come in and they go, well, I didn't get kidnapped, so everything worked out. Like, what the hell? That's not a good excuse. So when Madison said that to Alicia, I'm like, okay, who's the parent here? But I thought Alicia did a good job. And I was like, I don't know. That was sort of Emmy performance right there.
I have to agree with you. That was Emmy performance.
Yeah, it was very powerful.
All right, last on my like list, unless you have any more.
Nope.
All right, last is Travis seeing the hotel light. I love that.
That's amazing.
That's bringing Travis back into it. He see the light. You know, I hope the other, like, the four amigos, three amigos didn't see it.
Yeah, but we found out that they're, like, 15 miles away. I don't know. It's possible they saw it. But at the same time, you have to think about which side of the hotel are they facing.
Well, I don't think Travis was 15 miles away.
No, the amigos.
Well, I'm talking about the guys that's with Travis, like Chris and the other
three
amigos.
You hope they didn't see it.
Right.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about those bad guys at the warehouse.
I'm talking about the guys with Travis.
The Hovey, Travis, and them. Right. Unless, I was going to say, did we see the trailers? I was going to say, unless those guys are dead, but I think we did see them in the trailers for next week. Or who knows? Because
I mean, we know they're not dead. Oh, you talking about the one that got shot.
Well, no. I mean, okay, even though we saw them in next week's trailer... They could be dead, because even though we saw Travis at the end of this episode, next week when we see them, it could be like hours before.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's why we probably seen Travis by himself.
By himself. It's possible Travis had to kill all of them. His kid, the guy. He's like, he's gone Carol. He's the new Carol. And he's probably like counting his deaths now. I'm like, damn, I had to kill this many people. You know, including my own kids. So, I mean, that I think would be a very interesting story if we find out that the end of this episode doesn't take place until the end of next episode. Like, or at least with Travis's storyline.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. Because we see when he's seen the hotel light, he started walking toward it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I like that theory. All right. So now we go into the dislikes. And the dislikes have nothing to do with the show. We love the show.
I have one dislike that has to do with the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's small, but it's the lady stabbing Strand. I didn't like it. I think I talked about it on our instant cast. Like, how she was able, like, who, if someone else came to the door, were you going to stab just any old body? Your daughter was already dead. Like, how many people are you blaming for? You're blaming a lot of people for the daughter's death. When the daughter was going to die, the daughter was dead, before Strand got to her. The daughter was dead, even if the lady didn't lock the doors. The daughter was dead. So she needs to stop blaming people.
But come on, let's be fair. We've seen this a lot. We've seen it back with Herschel. We've seen this plenty of times.
The governor.
You can't accept that your daughter's dead, especially when she's walking around eating people. She's actually eating.
Yeah.
So that's hard to accept. So I can understand that. I mean, she probably put her daughter in there thinking that, okay, one day we'll find a cure, she'll get better. Because remember, the governor, he had a doctor in there looking for the cure, trying to fix his daughter.
Right.
So if these people think it's temporary, I can understand why she's mad. I just can't understand why she got the little plastic fork stabbing with.
Right. It's like you didn't know who was going to come to that door.
I'm just saying, if you just wanted to hurt him or kill him, maybe that's all they had. Maybe that's all Hotel Carry is a little.
No, because when Alicia and Lady first ran up on him when they had Hector hostage, I could have sworn she had, like, I don't know what it's called. It's like that thing that's in the fire.
Like little pitch fire.
Yeah,
thing. Like, okay, I know what you're
it was
about
that
like.
Thing. I could have sworn she had that in her hand, or at least one of them did. So okay, if you were gonna come and try to hurt someone, you should have went full blown with it.
But I guess she just wanted to slaughter him, also.
Okay, just a little something.
She wanted to hurt him, but she also wanted to hurt his pride.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna stab you with this little thing. Hope you die. But yeah, but was that a dislike of the show or a dislike of that character? Not just like a character show, but was that just a dislike, or you would have done it differently? Not a dislike of the show or the writing.
It was a little bit of both. I see what you're saying. It was still a little bit of both of the show, only because I don't know. It's this one was so intertwined into, did I think the show did a stupid job, or did I think she was stupid to use that knife and to stab Strand? So I can't really tell if it's a show dislike or a character dislike.
Okay. All right. Well, moving forward, a dislike we had was Madison losing her cool in the Sam's Club, the warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to start calling it Sam's Club because, you know, we seen the back. We saw no food back there or nothing.
Right.
You know, it looks like a warehouse, but we know they have all the goodies up front and stuff.
The groceries. Yeah, they got everything.
So either that's a Super Walmart or Sam's Club is something. But her losing her cool, that was crazy of her. I mean, in fact, Maddie disappointed me this whole show. Well, I can't say that because her laying down the law, that was like the best scene.
Right.
And her care factor, her care meter for Mr. Clean, for Strand, that was cool. But her running up on people she don't know inside Sam's Club, that was crazy.
After they told you to stay here.
I mean, these guys had machine guns. They had all kind of weapons. Everything that Sam's Club sell, they had.
Yeah.
They got, you know, plungers.
Right.
They got everything. So that was just a bad move. But I want to stay on Maddie and go toward the end since we were there. And I said I had a dislike for it. My like was Alicia. The dislike was, why the hell did she turn on that light? Why? I mean, she didn't go. When she got back, she didn't try to make sure if Strand was okay. She just went straight to, I guess, the little power source, turned on the light.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is. Now, in Maddie's defense, I will say I noticed the second time around, I believe when they first got the electricity, Strand mentioned, let's not turn it on to bring any attention to ourselves. And then Madison said, well, a few times here and there just to draw the right people. I don't know. So she kind of did say something towards, like, I am going to put it on every now and again. Like, that was her disclaimer that she would use it every once in a blue moon.
So you think she was probably foreshadowing?
Yeah.
Like, that's what she knew she wanted to do and what she wanted to use it for.
Yeah, she probably knew there would come a time where she was going to put that light on.
Because who was the right people?
Yeah.
And one thing, like I said before, the care meter. one thing I noticed that Nick is at the top of her list. It's like, it's Nick, then it's Strand. then it's probably, you know, the bartender at her local bar or something.
Ophelia.
Ophelia. She went to look for Ophelia.
And then Alicia.
Alicia. And then, you know, maybe Travis.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Travis because she did. Okay.
Forgot about Travis because she did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's her care meter.
But anyway, and Chris doesn't even make the list.
I think she, I don't know. I think she liked Chris at one point.
After the stunt he pulled.
After trying to kill. Yeah, you know, we talked about it.
Yeah, she lost love.
No, I would. But this is another dislike and maybe a like at the same time. The dislike is her nephew telling her not to come back.
Yeah.
You know, if she pulled that stunt. But he just told her before that, you know, we need you to come back and bring a fish and we need plenty of ice.
Right.
But now you're telling her don't come back. But the reason I say this is also a like is because this is also a foreshadow. It's maybe he's telling her not to come back because he said we're not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still crazy, you know, bring the fish, bring the ice. You know, what was he going to tell her he wasn't going to be there?
Right, don't come back because we're not going to be here, yeah. Well, but, go ahead, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, maybe he told her, maybe this is a foreshadow saying that they're not going to be there because they're about to take over Woodbury 2.0.
Right, I agree.
Another like-dislike, and I have a lot of like-dislikes. The guys from Sam's Club seeing Nick. You know, when Nick saw them,
through the binoculars?
Yeah, through the binoculars. Like, they saw Nick see them. See Nick. So that was a like seeing that. But it was also a dislike, because how?
How did Nick see them, or how did who? How did what?
How did they know where to come back to and where to look?
Yeah, did they
finally get the guy to break?
Oh, yeah.
Did he have told?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what happened. The guy probably, I mean, I would snitch. They had his daughter. He probably said whatever he had to say.
Hey, his daughter's dead. She's sick right now.
You don't know what's going on. He probably said whatever. Because you remember right at the end when Madison was going buck wild and was like, is his name Nick? Is his name Nick? And you saw him, Francisco, shake his head no, like to his wife. So his wife looked like she was going to break. Whether it was to Madison and say, yes, his name is Nick. He's the guy that got us. I don't know. He's caused trouble or...
So
whatever.
You think if they wouldn't have came in and pulled Madison out, the wife would have broke?
I think the wife would have broke regardless, because it was all over her face when it looked like she was going to break to Madison. So if she was going to break to Madison, some lady that just came in yelling, asking questions, she's definitely going to break to some guys with guns that have her daughter. So I think that's who broke.
Okay. All right.
So now that we're talking about it, it does make sense that they found Nick. I don't know how realistic it is that Nick could see them if they're looking through binoculars, and that's how they see. Well,
one of them was looking through binoculars.
Okay.
And maybe they both saw him, but the guy just wanted to get a closer look.
Okay.
Yeah. But going back to the guy who tried to escape. What is his name?
Francisco, I believe.
Francisco? All right, Francisco, like, he went out there with blood on his face, and he was like, no, you don't know me.
Right,
that
right,
part
right.
was just crazy to me. Like, come on, man. You see him, like, every week. Sometimes twice a week. So you think just because you put a little blood on your face, the dude's not going to recognize you.
Yeah.
And let's go back to those earrings. You don't know what those earrings, Francisco.
Right. Like, those earrings are unique. But I didn't really have a problem with it. Because I know sometimes people, I mean, we watch different shows. And you're like, oh, that's the same person. They, you know, they dye their hair blonde. I didn't recognize them or whatever.
Man, Francisco didn't do anything different.
Okay.
Only thing he did was put a little blood on his forehead and right. some on his cheek.
But, I mean, it's a different setting. It's like if you see someone from work at the store, it takes you a minute to register where they're from. Like, where do I know? Oh, we work together, because you're seeing them in a different setting. So they're seeing him with his family, a scared guy with a family. That it probably took him a minute to register. That's why he's like, do I know you? And Francisco, of course, he's not going to say, yeah, remember, I'm the guy that brings you drugs. Of course, his first reaction is going to be like, nope, you don't know me. But so I think I understood it as being a dislike, but I guess I didn't feel that strongly about it because I understood where both characters were coming from.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But I'm still calling bullshit. I mean, the only thing he did was pour a little water on his face.
I think he was just being an asshole when he poured the water on him.
Oh, so you think he knew who he was the whole time?
Yeah. Like, as soon as the moment those left his lips, when he says, I think I know you, he already knew where he knew him from.
So he just played the game with
him. Yeah, he was just being an asshole at that point.
Like, dude, you wear the same clothes and everything.
Right. I recognize those earrings. Those earrings are, you can't forget those earrings, so.
You see this guy, every week.
Yeah.
It's like when you work in a grocery store. You start noticing people. If you see the same people, and it's not like too many people go to this grocery store.
That's true.
So that part was a little funny to me. But like I said, it's not a writing error or anything like that. It was just bad scene. I didn't like it. But yeah, I mean, that's the end of my dislikes. My dislike list was it? Well, I guess it was long. It was like 10 of them.
Right. All right. Well, that is it for our dislikes. Now on to some listener letters. Remember, you can hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/theverdictsin. Today we have a comment from David Valentine, on Twitter. And he wrote, "In my eyes, Chris is not redeemable. He came from loving parents and a healthy environment, while Meryl came from an abusive home. Meryl and Daryl were untrusting people, violent as a product of their world. Chris chose to be violent and unmerciful for no reason." And this is stemming from our instant cast of this episode.
Right.
When I said that Chris could be redeemed, yet in my eyes, Meryl from The Walking Dead was not redeemed when a lot of people felt he was.
Yeah. Well, I agree with David 100%.
Yeah.
And I already said that there's no way in the hell that Chris can redeem himself. There's no way possible.
I will say that when it comes to TV world versus real life world, I think we are very much easier to forgive a killer in TV world. Like, you know, I'm a fan of Jamie Lannister, and he damn near tried to kill a little boy. Whereas if that happened in real life, I'd be like, that person deserves a chair or something, you know? So I think...
Well, you know, I never forgave him for that.
Yeah, well, you never forgave... But you forgave Littlefinger, and Littlefinger's done some bad stuff, so...
Littlefinger's cool, though.
See? So there's
nothing cool about Chris.
Chris is still a young kid, though. He has a lot to learn. He has some issues. And we've seen this in The Walking Dead. Mental issues, what plays a part? Because even though he might not have the signs of someone that... as the typical quote-unquote mental illness, obviously something, there is a disconnect with this young boy. I mean, he was going to kill his stepmom, his stepsister.
And his father.
There's something wrong with him. And I don't want to just say, oh, he's a serial killer or potential serial killer. I think there's something deeper there.
What do you mean you're not going to say that?
Well, he isn't. We don't know if he's killed yet, so we can't really call him a serial killer. We can't really call him a killer.
We saw him kill.
No, we don't know if that guy's dead. The guy was breathing last time we saw. Yeah, the man that they came to his farm.
No, I'm just looking at you like that. Because I'm in denial that you're in denial.
No, I'm just saying. The guy could, he could have made it. I don't know. Either way.
Maybe you just want to redeem this guy just so bad,
no,
don't you?
I'm just saying, two seasons from now, Chris could be our favorite character if he survives. Because Travis may have to take him out, make him look at the flowers.
That's impossible. And I agree with David. There's no way possible. And he's right. You know, when you have Merle... that's just, he's the product of his environment. Chris, well, although Chris' mother died, and, you know, I guess that could bring out some, strong issues in somebody, that this is a person that took care of you. Because it never seemed like he was that close to his father.
Right.
Because even in the first episode, he really didn't want to talk to him on the phone.
Didn't want to go visit.
Right. Like, Chris, why you come over this weekend? Like, I hate you, Dad. It was like a scene like that. But, I mean, this dude just went from, I'm mad at people, to actually killing people.
Yeah, that's true. No, and in some ways, I think I agree with David. Like, they did come from different backgrounds. So it's like, hold on. How is it that this guy came from a very good background and he still is effing up, but you're allowed to forgive him? Whereas someone that came from a horrible, horrible background and you're not able to forgive them. And I guess it comes down to that the things that Merle did, especially to Maggie and just everything to Michonne and to Andrea. I just didn't like Merle. I mean, he beat up Tyrese. T-Dog,
yeah.
But, I mean, I just didn't like Merle. So maybe it's just those personal feelings. I just didn't like Merle, so.
But you also have to think about it like this. Merle is who he is. there's nothing about Merle that's premeditated. He's not thinking about it. Everything he did just came straight out of his mouth, or he just did. With Chris, when he tried to kill his stepsister, stepmom, Alicia, and Maddie, that was premeditated. He snuck in that room in the dark. He was going to try to kill him.
We don't know that for sure, but...
Are you kidding me?
No, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen there.
This dude had like a machete in his hand.
No, he didn't, but...
This dude had a knife that he couldn't hide in his belt. Yo, this wasn't an Easy Bake Oven knife. This was the real deal right here. He was going to kill him. When he pulled the gun out of his father, that was premeditated, because he could have stayed hidden. He could have stayed hidden, but he came out, told his father he'd kill him.
That's true.
So this guy can't be redeemed. He didn't have to kill the man at the farm. They could have left. I mean, this is this guy's property. This is his farm. I mean, that's just my opinion of it. David, I agree with you 100%. Thank you for writing in.
Thank you, David. Next, we have an email from Yolanda. Sure. Hi, hey, Nicole and Gary. Stella's getting her groove back, and this show is finding its sweet spot.
Yes, it is.
Two women pissed me off so quick this week. I was like, what the fuck, when Eileen stabbed Strand. Yep, we said that. Oh, no, you don't just stab someone when they open the door. She got to go. If she walks up on Strand again, he needs to put her down and just call it self-defense. Ooh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if she has the ability at this point if they're going to keep her locked up.
Right.
You know.
But I don't think Strand is a fighter. Strand is more of a lover.
Yeah, he's a smooth talker. He talks his way out of stuff, but... I'm pretty sure he would put her down if she attacked him. Or Madison would do it for him.
I think
him.
He's terrified of her now.
I don't know.
If he saw her coming, he'd probably cross the street.
he'd run. Then when Maddie heard about a ratty-haired gringo and just assumed it was Nick and then turned on the hotel lights so Nick can see them, bleep Nick, you're jeopardizing everyone in the hotel's life. You know there's bad people out there. Thanks for drawing an X on your location. Every live person now knows the hotel has electricity and safety. You can't Pied Piper the living off of a pier. You're going to have to fight for real now.
Right.
I do like that. Yeah.
I love that.
And I think we saw in the trailers people coming. So, and it's like, how many, even if these are good people, how many people are you going to let in? Well, I guess it's a big ass hotel.
But who can you trust? You can't really let anybody in.
Yeah, you can't just let anybody in, because what if they want to turn, like, what if they're good now, but then food starts getting scarce?
Well, let's just talk about it from a politics standpoint, that there's no way you can get all those people to agree to rules. There's no way. You know, somebody else going to want to take over. Like, you know what? I don't like how Maddie's running the place.
Yeah.
You know what? Why don't y'all vote for me? And, you know, I'll run this. I'll make sure.
I'll kick him out.
You know, I'll get, like, more food. You know, she only wants to get one cracker a day.
Right.
You know, I'll give us two crackers.
I'll bring back pizza Thursdays or something.
Right.
You know, all the stuff
so
they promised.
It's not going to work if they get too many people in there.
No, that's true.
Every place that got a lot of people in there, we've seen it happen to the governor, to where... You know, his place was almost taken over, to where he had to go try to take over the prison. I mean, we've seen it happen too many times. We see Rick, every place they go to, they try to, you know, be the president of the place. But it won't work.
And then she continued, speaking of ratty-haired Nick, I like how he peeped he was being distracted. Sure, give the junkie booze and sex and he won't notice he's being handled.
Right.
Now, which part is this that she's referring? Is that every time when the doctor or the pharmacist goes, here's some water, here's some water?
Yeah, what's he giving him, water?
I don't know. So I'm like, what the hell? But maybe water is like such a hot commodity that's like something big.
Right.
Because even later on when he was like to Lucinda, he's like, you want to have a drink with me? I'm like, isn't that just water? Like, you know, like, what is this? But I'm like, okay, Nicole, water is probably big right there because that's all they have.
And it's hot there.
And it's hot. Yeah, I don't even know how they're chilling outside. But I guess it's hot inside because you don't have air conditioning there.
Yeah, probably used to it. Because I know when we were there, we just walked up the street and we were done.
Now, do you think he was being handled or do you think they were trying to distract him?
I think he was being handled. But I think everyone's there. Everyone there is being handled.
By Alessandro or whatever, the pharmacist.
Right. Even Lucinda.
Yeah, because when he was like, you want to leave too? Like, come on, you know Lucinda's not going to leave. But he was just saying that so she could listen to him even more. Because that's the whole reason why she said, I'm not going to go out, I'm going to listen to him.
Right.
And she goes, my favorite line goes to Griselda when Ophelia said her dad was a hard man. And her reply was, I'm a hard woman. Basically, check yourself, little girl. I like right. that, too. Even though I was thinking, I don't know. Like, we never saw the mom be hard. But maybe, like, right after we met her, she got hurt. And she was, you know, and then she died. But I'm like, we never got to see her be hard. You saw her with some
harsh words.
Oh, when she called him
a monster.
But wasn't that, like, the dead her saying that?
I mean, she was alive when she said it.
I thought that was when she was at the hospital, or when was that, when she was saying that?
Right.
Okay. I thought she meant when Daniel was envisioning her, hallucinating her, but you're saying she was saying that before she died.
Yeah, she said it before she died.
Okay. She wrote, I ain't fearing shit, has to go to the family that left in the beginning. That's funny. When I saw that kid, I knew they were goners, but fooled me. Most likely to die is Travis, because when they showed him looking at the hotel lights, I smooth forgot his name. I was like, Troy? Tony? No. Now that's funny, because remember I said, I was like, oh, I forgot about Travis until it showed. I know Travis' name, but I did forget about him.
Yeah, and when they showed him, I was like,
oh, Travis, yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, you said that. But me, I was excited. I'm like, man. Well, I guess I'm more excited for Chris. Because I'm like, man, there's Travis. Where's Chris at?
Yeah, and I'm hoping he killed Chris. Like, I mean, not hoping, but I kind of am hoping that he did what he had to
man,
do.
Man, I'm telling y'all, the Chris storyline is bringing excitement into this.
It is. So if they kill Chris, who are they going to have? But all right, and then she goes, well, I'm about to get a Tobias butter knife and wait for someone to knock on my door till next week, Yolanda.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Thank you. And then she actually has one more comment. And Tobias is from that first episode, the kid from the high school. And people loved him. It's like, whatever happened to him? Did he survive? But they're so far gone from L.A., which is weird because in The Walking Dead, when they started off in Atlanta, they were in Atlanta for like 4 seasons. Whereas here, it was the L.A. version, and people are excited. Like, are we going to see celebrities? Are we going to see this? And they're in L.A. for like half like a few episodes. And it was like, okay.
Celebrities, what are they going to see? Madonna walking down the street?
No, not like real celebrities. Walker. But, you know, it'd be cool if someone that, like, I think I heard Tyrese, his character is supposed to be like ex-football player or something. Whereas since they were in L.A., it would have been cool if it would have been like, oh my gosh, that's the biggest pop star. And now she's surviving with us. I don't know. Something like that, you know?
Yeah, it'd be kind of corny.
Yeah, I guess it would have been corny. Maybe like a director. They could have had like J.J. Abrams or something. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
All right, and then she wrote, and another thing, how did Nick walk 100 miles to get to where he is, and somehow he's only a few miles away from Madison and Travis? I call bullshit.
Bingo. You know what? Me and Nicole said the exact same thing, Yolanda, when we was watching. We were like, hold up, how are they only 15 miles away?
Right.
When we seen a sign that said Tijuana, 100 miles this way.
Right. Unless, I mean, did we see how far Madison and Strand and them, how long they were driving?
Well, you're right. They had a car.
Yeah.
But then it looked like they were going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, like I'm going to still call BS on that because the fear, they got to show me a map now.
Okay.
They
gotta
have to just map. Yeah, they had to open up a map and just, you know, take a long, like, 2-minute shot of it.
Right. Let us find out what happened. Let's see.
Have some say Ophelia's right here.
All right. Well, thank you, Yolanda. We always appreciate you writing in.
Yes, we do.
And now for our award and prediction.
Go ahead and start off, Nicole.
All right. I ain't fearing shit this week. I'm going to have to give it to the family, too. I don't know. The family, I guess. The family that escaped. That's bold. It had to be scary making that decision. I was actually leaning towards Ophelia, so kind of she did the same thing. But I guess I'm still so pissed off that she left like that I'm giving it to the family. Ophelia had no reason to leave. Like, why? Like, I don't know. Why did you leave and why did you not tell anyone? No one's going to try to stop you. And then you took their car. But whatever. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to the family. You know, they tried to do what was best for them, although their plan didn't go as well. We did learn, though, from them escaping that there is another community nearby. So, remember, because he told the daughter, we just have to walk to this other community.
Right.
We'll be there by nightfall if we continue. So, I give I ain't fair and shit to the family of three. And you?
All right. I mean, there's so many people that deserve it, like Ophelia. I mean, she left, and I'm not mad at her. She did her own thing. She don't have any ties to anyone there right now. Why not leave? And why not try to find something better or find something that you missed out on, and especially before everything get, like, just crazy how it is in Walking Dead? Because think about it. If she waited any longer, I mean, it's no chance she'd be able to there's probably no chance right now that she'd be able to find them. But the longer she wait, you know, the harder it's going to be.
Right.
So, you know, she was a runner-up. Maddie was a runner-up. Maddie ran up on a gangster just out of the room. Right. That's just crazy. She's not fearing shit. Maddie's like the hardest person in The Walking Dead.
Right, right.
Just period. I mean, you could give it to the lady who stabbed him, her son. He didn't want to lock her up. like, really? Your mom just stabbed somebody. Like, he really wasn't fearing shit. But overall, I probably would have to give it to, I'm going to have to say Nick. And the reason is even though all this craziness going on, for some reason, Nick still want to go out there and give them the medicine. So I don't know whether he's not fearing shit or he's just smart. He knows that if he don't, they're coming.
Honestly, I think he knows how drug deals work. You know, he wasn't a drug dealer himself, but his friend was, the one that he had been killing. He knows what it's like to be a junkie and not have the crap, you know, not pay your person or whatever. So he knows what it is to owe someone in regular life and how it is in the apocalypse. It's even 10 times.
I wonder how many times he got beat up for owing somebody.
I don't know. He probably, you know,
for taking somebody's drugs and running.
He probably always had money. I don't know. Get it from Madison, probably.
Maybe.
All right, most likely to die, I am going to give it to Chris and his crew, because I think Travis takes them out.
You know, that's a very good theory, and it will work if they decide to go that route. But the most likely to die to me is probably everybody in Woodbury.
2.0. Yeah.
The first person, well, you know, I can't see Nick dying because, you know, he has those survival skills. You know, anybody that, you know, you have to, you know, live life off drugs, they have survival skills. But I can't see his little girlfriend dying. What's her name?
Lucinda.
I think Lucinda is the most likely to die. And plus, it'll make a hell of a storyline.
Yeah, no, that would be.
Nick find a girl, he lose a girl.
And then find a girl and lose a girl.
Yeah, so I hope he don't turn into a Chris.
Oh, no, I couldn't see Nick doing that. But you never know what drives a person to the edge.
Or, you know, drives them back to drugs. But yeah, I think it's Lucinda. I think she's going to die next.
All right, that's a good one, too. Well, we will be back Sunday with an instant cast. The episode looks pretty interesting. Looks like there's going to be a lot of action scenes, so we should see. And then we'll come back out Wednesday or Thursday night with our full recap. Until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.